Today is the 30th day of March. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Grateful to be in your presence. Grateful to be around the global campfire. Grateful that we can take another step forward in the scriptures on this grand adventure that is the Bible. So with gratitude, we gather, leaving behind the cares of this life and coming into this oasis of safety to allow God to speak to us through His Word. And we'll pick up, obviously, where we left off. Exactly, precisely where we left off, which will lead us back into the book of Deuteronomy. Today, chapters 13, 14, and 15. Suppose a prophet or one who foretells by dreams should appear among you and show you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder should come to pass concerning what he said to you, namely, let us follow other gods, gods whom you have not previously known, and let us serve them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer, for the Lord your God will be testing you to see if you love him with all your mind and being. You must follow the Lord your God and revere only him, and you must observe his commandments, obey him, serve him, and remain loyal to him. As for that prophet or dreamer, he must be executed because he encouraged rebellion against the Lord your God who brought you from the land of Egypt, redeeming you from that place of slavery, and because he has tried to entice you from the way the Lord your God has commanded you to go. In this way you must purge evil from among you. Suppose your own full brother, your son, your daughter, your beloved wife, or your closest friend should seduce you secretly and encourage you to go and serve other gods that neither you nor your ancestors have previously known, the gods of the surrounding people, whether near you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other. You must not give in to him or even listen to him. Do not feel sympathy for him or spare him or cover up for him. Instead, you must kill him without fail. Your own hand must be the first to strike him, and then the hands of the whole community. You must stone him to death because he tried to entice you away from the Lord your God, who delivered you from the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. Thus, all Israel will hear and be afraid. No longer will they continue to do evil like this among you. Suppose you should hear in one of your cities, which the Lord your God is giving you as a place to live in, that some evil people have departed from among you to entice the inhabitants of their cities, saying, let's go and serve other gods, whom you have not known before. You must investigate thoroughly and inquire carefully. If it is indeed true that such a disgraceful thing is being done among you, you must by all means slaughter the inhabitants of that city with the sword, annihilate with the sword everyone in it, as well as the livestock. You must gather all of its plunder into the middle of the plaza and burn the city and all its plunder as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. It will be an abandoned ruin forever. It must never be rebuilt again. You must not take for yourself anything that is in place under judgment. Then the Lord will relent from his intense anger, show you compassion, have mercy on you, and multiply you as he promised your ancestors. Thus you must obey the Lord your God, keeping all his commandments that I am giving you today, and doing what is right before him. You are children of the Lord your God. Do not cut yourselves or shave your forehead bald for the sake of the dead, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. He has chosen you to be his people, prized above all others on the face of the earth. You must not eat any forbidden thing. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the ibex, the gazelle, the deer, the wild goat, the antelope, the wild oryx, and the mountain sheep. You may eat any animal that has hooves divided into two parts and that chews the cud. However, you may not eat the following animals among those that chew the cud or those that have divided hooves: the camel, the hare, and the rock badger. Although they chew the cud, they do not have divided hooves and are therefore ritually impure to you. Also, the pig is ritually impure to you. Though it has divided hooves, it does not chew the cud. You may not eat their meat or even touch their remains. These you may eat from among water creatures. Anything with fins and scales you may eat, but whatever does not have fins and scales you may not eat. It is ritually impure to you. All ritually clean birds you may eat. These are the ones you may not eat: the eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the black kite, the daya, after its species, every raven after its species, the ostrich, the owl, the seagull, the falcon after its species, the little owl, the long-eared owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, the carrion vulture, the cormorant, the stork, the heron after its species, the hoopoe, and the bat. And any swarming winged thing is impure to you. They may not be eaten. You may eat any winged creature that is clean. You may not eat any corpse, though you may give it to the resident foreigner who is living in your villages, and he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. Do not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. You must be certain to tithe all the produce of your seed that comes from the field year after year. In the presence of the Lord your God, in the place he chooses to locate his name, you must eat from the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. When he blesses you, if the place where he chooses to locate his name is distant, you may convert the tithe into money, secure the money, and travel to the place the Lord your God chooses for himself. Then you may spend the money however you wish for cattle, sheep, wine, beer, or whatever you desire. You and your household may eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and enjoy it. As for the Levites in your villages, you must not ignore them, for they have no allotment or inheritance along with you. At the end of every 3 years, you must bring all the tithe of your produce in that very year, and you must store it up in your villages. Then the Levites, because they have no allotment or inheritance with you, the resident foreigners, the orphans, and the widows of your villages, may come and eat their fill, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work you do. At the end of every 7 years, you must declare a cancellation of debts. This is the nature of the cancellation. Every creditor must remit what he has loaned to another person. He must not force payment from his fellow Israelite, for it is to be recognized as the Lord's cancellation of debts. You may exact payment from a foreigner, but whatever your fellow Israelite owes you, you must remit. However, there should not be any poor among you, for the Lord will surely bless you in the land that he is giving you as an inheritance. If you carefully obey him by keeping all these commandments that I am giving you today, for the Lord your God will bless you just as he has promised. You will lend to many nations, but will not borrow from any, and you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. If a fellow Israelite from one of your villages in the land that the Lord your God is giving you should be poor, you must not harden your heart or be insensitive to his impoverished condition. Instead, you must be sure to open your hand to him and generously lend him whatever he needs. Be careful, lest you entertain the wicked thought that the seventh year, the year of cancellations of debts, has almost arrived, and your attitude be wrong toward your impoverished fellow Israelite, and you do not lend him anything. He will cry out to the Lord against you, and you will be regarded as having sinned. You must by all means lend to him, and not be upset by doing it. For because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you attempt. There will never cease to be some poor people in the land. Therefore, I am commanding you to make sure you open your hand to your fellow Israelites who are needy and poor in your land. If your fellow Hebrew, whether male or female, is sold to you and serves you for 6 years, then in the seventh year you must let that servant go free. If you set them free, you must not send them away empty-handed. You must supply them generously from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. As the Lord your God has blessed you, you must give to them. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this thing today. However, if the servant says to you, "I do not want to leave you," because he loves you and your household, since he is well off with you, you shall take an awl and pierce a hole through his ear to the door. Then he will become your servant permanently. This applies to your female servant as well. You should not consider it difficult to let him go free, for he will have served you for 6 years, twice the time of a hired worker. The Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. You must set apart for the Lord your God every firstborn male born to your herds and flocks. You must not work the firstborn of your bulls or shear the firstborn of your flocks. You and your household must eat them annually before the Lord your God in the place he chooses. If one of them has any kind of blemish, lameness, blindness, or anything else, you may not offer it as a sacrifice to the Lord your God. You may eat it in your villages, whether you are ritually impure or clean, just as you would eat a gazelle or an ibex. However, you must not eat its blood. You must pour it out on the ground, like water. Luke 8:40-9:6. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him because they were all waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, who was a leader of the synagogue, came up. Falling at Jesus' feet, he pleaded with him to come to his house because he had an only daughter about 12 years old and she was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds pressed around him. Now a woman was there who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years but could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak, and at once the bleeding stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who was it who touched me?" When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds are surrounding you and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I know that power has gone out from me." When the woman saw that she could not escape notice, she came trembling and fell down before him. In the presence of all the people, she explained why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone from the synagogue leader's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any longer." But when Jesus heard this, he told him, "Do not be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." Now when he came to the house, Jesus did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Now they were all wailing and mourning for her, but he said, "Stop your weeping. She is not dead, but asleep." And they began making fun of him because they knew that she was dead. But Jesus gently took her by the hand and said, "Child, get up." Her spirit returned, and she got up immediately. Then he told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them to tell no one what had happened. After Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, and do not take an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave the area. Wherever they do not receive you, as you leave that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." Then they departed and went throughout the villages, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I have taken shelter. Never let me be humiliated. Vindicate me by rescuing me. Listen to me. Deliver me. Be my protector and refuge, a stronghold where I can be safe. For you are my high ridge and my stronghold. My God, rescue me from the power of the wicked, from the hand of the cruel oppressor. For you are my hope. O Sovereign Lord, I have trusted in you since I was young. I have leaned on you since birth. You pulled me from my mother's womb. I praise you continually. Many are appalled when they see me, but you are my secure shelter. I praise you constantly and speak of your splendor all day long. Do not reject me in my old age. When my strength fails, do not abandon me, for my enemies talk about me. Those waiting for a chance to kill me plot my demise. They say God has abandoned him. Run and seize him, for there is no one who will rescue him. Oh God, do not remain far away from me. My God, hurry and help me. May my accusers be humiliated and defeated. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I will wait continually and will continue to praise you. I will tell about your justice and all day long proclaim your salvation, though I cannot fathom its full extent. I will come and tell about the mighty acts of the Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your justice, yours alone. Oh God, you have taught me since I was young, and I am still declaring your amazing deeds. Even when I am old and gray, oh God, do not abandon me until I tell the next generation about your strength and those coming after me about your power. Your justice, oh God, extends to the skies above. You have done great things. Oh God, who can compare to you? Though you have allowed me to experience much trouble and distress, revive me once again. Bring me up once again from the depths of the earth. Raise me to a position of great honor. Turn and comfort me. I will express my thanks to you with a stringed instrument, praising your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you accompanied by a harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy. Yes, I will sing your praises. I will praise you when you rescue me. All day long my tongue will also tell about your justice, for those who want to harm me will be embarrassed and ashamed. Proverbs 12, 5 through 7. The plans of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait to shed innocent blood, but the words of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and perish, but the righteous household will stand. Okay, so in the book of Deuteronomy today, Moses is talking about, covenant breaking. In this case, idolatry, which in a covenant between God and his people, like giving themselves, their heart, in any way, worshiping another God, in any way, giving themselves to another is breaking the covenant. But like, if we want to put it in modern vernacular and understand it, it's cheating. It's complete betrayal. And so in that light, then we can kind of begin to understand not only the seriousness of idolatry, but the consequences. So Moses says, like, suppose that a prophet comes among you and they dream dreams about the future and they promise signs and miracles and they even occur. So like, let's do that. Let's suppose that actually happens. A prophet comes into your life in some sort, in your midst, in around, becomes popular, predicts some things, and those things occur. Let's just suppose that, because that's what Moses is asking the children of Israel to do. Suppose that happens. So if we saw that happen, we might be compelled to listen more and even maybe follow the person with the gifting, without really thinking about where they may be leading us. So Moses' counsel isn't to be overwhelmed by the magic show, but to consider where the path is going. Is this going toward God, or is this going toward a colossal betrayal? Moses says, if after they have given you a sign or a wonder, they say, come on, let's go worship another God. Like, let's do this a different way. Gods you haven't known before. Do not listen to them. Moses says, he makes it very, very stark and very serious, even if it's a family member. We should be intentional about getting them out of our life. That is a pretty big deal. If this is such a serious thing, then what are we talking about? What is this idolatry? So the cultures of Moses' time literally made images, and they bowed before them in worship and sacrificed and performed all kinds of acts of devotion. We certainly remember the golden calf incident that we saw in the book of Exodus. When enemies would attack, when famine would come, the people of that day thought that it was the local god that wasn't pleased. The strongest god was always the victorious god. This may sound kind of like antiquated, bizarre to us today, because most of us live in a culture that wouldn't affirm those kinds of practices. But actual idol worship does indeed still exist in the world. But idolatry goes so much deeper than making a statue and sacrificing an animal to it. Idolatry is giving our heart and hope to a person or a thing in expectation that it will give us life in some form in return. And so if that is how we define this, it's not hard to find idolatry everywhere. Idols can be anything. Money, control, possessions, power, sex, any of a humongous list of things that we may turn to and give ourselves to freely in ways that we do not even understand in exchange for this hope that somehow life will be returned. Moses' counsel was specific to the time and culture being created among the Israelites. Idolatry was big enough to carry the death penalty for the children of Israel. Like, holy cow. Like, that's how serious of a thing we're talking about. So obviously, we don't have a justice system that will execute people for idolatry anymore. But why is it such a severe threat that it was considered a capital offense? Because it's cheating. Because it's ultimate betrayal of a covenant with God. Because it will become a cancer to the people. It will destroy them from within. It will make them forget who they are. They will get lost in the worship of something lesser. They will forget where they came from and how they got there. They will forget who their source of life actually is. So yeah, holy cow. That is still a problem today. This is Holy Week. This is a week of utter repentance and carrying the weight of our sin and what it cost. So let's examine our lives today. What have we been giving our heart to? Who have we been giving our heart to that has no right to it, and we have no business or right to give it to, in expectation that somehow it's going to bring us some kind of life? If things come to mind that are not God alone, there is an idol that will become cancerous to our soul. They will make us lose ourselves, lose our identity. They will seduce us into darkness. And that is a pretty big deal indeed. So Holy Spirit, come into that pretty big deal and help us to examine our lives, especially as we're going through this week. Especially as our hearts and minds are focused on the weight of sin, especially as we are considering the posture that we have. Lead us into all truth, which may mean leading us to self-reflection in painful ways, but we are open to you. We love you and we trust you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It is the website and indeed where you find out what's going on around here. So check out the community section. That is where to get connected on the different social media platforms that Daily Audio Bible participates in. It's also where the prayer wall lives. It's a good idea to stay connected if you are in those spaces. For announcements, for behind the scenes, for encouragement, just to kind of, like, for example, when we were gone to Israel, certainly Jill and I were coming together and doing whatever this is every day, but on the platforms, on the social media platforms, was the accompanying videos for each day to be able to see those places. And so if you are in those spaces, definitely follow along. Just search for Daily Audio Bible at any of them, and you'll probably be able to find us. But the links are directly in the community section at DailyAudioBible.com or in the Daily Audio Bible app. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, humble gratitude. Thank you profoundly. There is a link on the homepage at DailyAudioBible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 877-344-3174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I want to pray for Allison and Beatrice, who lost their father. I want to ask you, the Lord, to be with them. I also want to pray for Owen, whose 14-year-old daughter attempted to commit suicide. I want to ask you to touch that precious girl's mind and let her know how precious she is, and ask God to be with her. I want to pray for Janice in New Jersey and the challenges that she's going through. We want to pray for the person who had stage 4 kidney cancer, and we want to ask you to be with him and his wife, and ask God to have his way in the healing process. We want to pray for the little Cherie in Canada, her nephew's wife. I want to pray for them who have the young children, and they're going through some medical challenges. The woman had a heart problem, and the doctor is seeking answers for it. We want to pray for that family, and we want to pray for Monica. In the adoption, the one with the 11, who was trying to adopt the 11-year-old child. Lord, you open doors, your divine will be done. Let your divine will be done in that family. We ask you to bless in a mighty and special way. And Lord, we'll give you the glory. We ask you to give them life and favor. We ask your divine will to be done. And Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Have a good day, Dad. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is David. I just got out of prison, and I'd like to have some prayers because I'm feeling let down with life. And I need just focus on what I need to do, and what I need to focus on is the Lord. I just am having a hard time doing that. If you could pray for me, I'd appreciate it. This is David from Florida. Thank you.
Dad family, I need you to keep praying for Andy, the little 10-year-old that has leukemia. She's been hospitalized again. She had 103.5 fever. Today she has 104. They think she has a third virus. The antibiotics are not working. They're trying something new. She has fluid filling up in her lungs and one lung that is partially collapsed. They're x-raying her right now to see if she needs to have a drain tube put in to help drain this fluid. You can just imagine. So, Heavenly Father, we trust you. We do. This is really a squeeze. So, Lord, your will be done, but we will keep coming back, and we are asking for absolute miraculous healing of this leukemia out of Andy's body. In the meantime, Lord, all these extra infections, all of this fluid, whatever it is, Lord, 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 have mercy. Bolster her parents, her siblings, her church community. We're asking in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, Debbers. This is your brother, Bart. I'm lifting up a friend who is in the hospital. His name is Van, V-A-N, and he had surgery last week to remove a tumor from the small of his back, and they removed part of his tailbone as well. Stayed in there a couple of days, went home, and this last Tuesday had a really high fever that spiked some kind of infection, and they sent him back in the hospital, and he's there now, and they're treating him. Just please lift up Van in your prayers. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Have a great day, Debris. This is Bart in Kentucky, and I'm walking in the light.
Hello, beautiful brothers and sisters in the Lord. I ask you to agree with me in prayer for my nephew. He's had a rough life right from childhood, and lately he's been suffering. He hasn't hardly eaten anything in months, and he's bleeding and refuses to go to a hospital because he doesn't want to get blood transfusion and stuff. And so please agree with me in prayer for him, if you would, for his the bleeding to stop, for his body to take on some form of nourishment and not to reject it, because he's got stomach issues that he's throwing up everything, and for his, most importantly, for his soul, that he knows the Lord, but he needs to draw near and receive healing and deliverance, salvation, everything he can from the Lord. So, Father, we lift up Justin to your throne of grace, and we thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for him. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus covers him, Lord, and even as his mom has seen the other day, where there was a spirit of death trying to come and take him away, Lord, we pray the blood of Jesus against that spirit of death, and we pray for healing to come, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that by your wounds, by your stripes, he has been healed. We speak hope and life, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We pray you would rise up in him and bring him hope and bring healing and quicken his body back to life. And we give you thanks for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. Thank you, brothers and sisters. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible. This is Rebecca from Michigan. It's March 26, 2026. I just got awarded the Employee of the Year. I never think of myself in that light. I always just do my job like I'm doing it unto God. And I call my jobs assignments from God. And when he's done with that assignment, he has a new one, usually a better one, because I don't want to credit man for giving me a job. I want God to get the credit and glory for the jobs he gives me. And I just try to do them like I'm working for Jesus, if you know what I mean. So, you know what? Because I also am planning on signing a lease to an apartment I got approved for. I've been hesitating because sometimes I let fear enter me, and I know God doesn't want us to be fearful. He wants us to be of faith and have a sound mind, and that's the spirit of confusion. So I've been asking God for confirmations on this. I feel like my spirit's just been lifted up just because I got the Employee of the Year, and I'm like, okay, I never won anything before like that, but you know what? I just praise God because I try to honor him with my life and the things that I do. I showed up to work every day and just do my job, which I actually like my job. It's kind of weird. Well, anyways, I work with lots of kids. So I'll talk to you guys later, and I'm praising Jesus for all his blessings in my life. Thank you. And you guys be blessed. Bye.